Thank you, Headmaster, Professor Umbridge simpered, for those kind words of welcome.
Her voice was high-pitched, breathy, and little girlish. And again Harry felt a powerful rush of dislike that he could not explain to himself. All he knew was that he loathed everything about her, from her stupid voice to her fluffy pink cardigan. She gave another little throat-clearing cough.
Hem! Hem!
And continued.
Well, it is lovely to be back at Hogwarts, I must say.
She smiled, revealing very pointed teeth.
And to see such happy little faces looking back at me.
Harry glanced around. None of the faces he could see looked happy. On the contrary, they all looked rather taken aback at being addressed as though they were 5 years old.
I am very much looking forward to getting to know you all, and I'm sure we'll be very good friends.
Students exchanged looks at this. Some of them were barely concealing grins.
I'll be her friend as long as I don't have to borrow that cardigan,
Parvati whispered to Lavender, and both of them lapsed into silent giggles. Professor Umbridge cleared her throat again.
Hem! Hem!
But when she continued, some of the breathiness had vanished from her voice. She sounded much more businesslike, and now her words had a dull, learned-by-heart sound to them.
The Ministry of Magic has always considered the education of young witches and wizards to be of vital importance. The rare gifts with which you were born may come to nothing if not nurtured and honed by careful instruction. The ancient skills unique to the wizarding community must be passed down through the generations, lest we lose them forever. The treasure trove of magical knowledge amassed by our ancestors must be guarded, replenished, and polished by those who have been called to the noble profession of teaching.
Professor Umbridge paused here and made a little bow to her fellow staff members, none of whom bowed back. Professor McGonagall's dark eyebrows had contracted so that she looked positively hawk-like, and Harry distinctly saw her exchange a significant look with Professor Sprout as Umbridge gave another little
hem, hem,
and went on with her speech.
Every headmaster and headmistress of Hogwarts has brought something new to the weighty task of governing this historic school, and that is as it should be, for without progress there will be stagnation and decay. There again, progress for progress's sake must be discouraged, for our tried and tested traditions often require no tinkering. A balance, then, between old and new, between permanence and change, between tradition and innovation.
Harry found his attentiveness ebbing, as though his brain was slipping in and out of tune. The quiet that always filled the hall when Dumbledore was speaking was breaking up as students put their heads together, whispering and giggling. Over at the Ravenclaw table, Cho Chang was chatting animatedly with her friends. A few seats along from Cho, Luna Lovegood had got out the Quibbler again. Meanwhile, at the Hufflepuff table, Ernie Macmillan was one of the few still staring at Professor Umbridge. But he was glassy-eyed, and Harry was sure he was only pretending to listen in an attempt to live up to the new prefect's badge gleaming on his chest. Professor Umbridge did not seem to notice the restlessness of her audience. Harry had the impression that a full-scale riot could have broken out under her nose and she would have ploughed on with her speech. The teachers, however, were still listening very attentively, and Hermione seemed to be drinking in every word Umbridge spoke, though judging by her expression, they were not at all to her taste.
Because some changes will be for the better, while others will come in the fullness of time to be recognized as errors of judgment. Meanwhile, some old habits will be retained, and rightly so, whereas others, outmoded and outworn, must be abandoned. Let us move forward, then, into a new era of openness, effectiveness, and accountability, intent on preserving what ought to be preserved, perfecting what needs to be perfected, and pruning wherever we find practices that ought to be prohibited.
She sat down. Dumbledore clapped. The staff followed his lead, though Harry noticed that several of them brought their hands together only once or twice before stopping. A few students joined in, but most had been taken unawares by the end of the speech, not having listened to more than a few words of it, and before they could start applauding properly, Dumbledore had stood up again.
"Thank you very much, Professor Umbridge. That was most illuminating," he said, bowing to her. "Now, as I was saying, Quidditch tryouts will be held..."
"Yes, it certainly was illuminating,"
said Hermione in a low voice.
"You're not telling me you enjoyed it,"
Ron said quietly, turning a glazed face upon Hermione.
That was about the dullest speech I've ever heard, and I grew up with Percy.
I said illuminating, not enjoyable, said Hermione. It explained a lot.
Did it? Said Harry in surprise. Sounded like a load of waffle to me.
There was some important stuff hidden in the waffle,
said Hermione grimly.
Was there?
Said Ron blankly.
How about progress for progress's sake must be discouraged? How about pruning wherever we find practices that ought to be prohibited?
Well, what does that mean?
Said Ron impatiently.